Hey everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
How you been?
Crazy.
Yeah.
You know that.
It's been a nuts week. It really has been a crazy week.
It's been busy. But it's been good. And then, you know, it's snowing today.
It was 62 degrees yesterday. Yeah. It's snowing today. It's right now it's 34, 36 degrees outside right now, but it feels like it's about 20.
Yeah, it feels amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So look, I think we just kind of want to jump in, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
I think what we want to do for the next who knows how many weeks, right, is we want to go through the parables of Jesus.
Right.
And we want to kind of talk in depth and kind of analyze them and see what we're supposed to be learning from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that I love us just talking and picking topics and things, but we're also going to, we also got to be here to kind of teach, right?
Exactly.
And so that's what we got to do.
Yeah,
we
got to do some discipleship.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, and we have to be discipled at the same time.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So you had sent over a couple topics. So do you want to start?
Yeah, let's start. We're going to start off today in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And this is a very hot topic right now in society.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. It really is. And people throw this scripture out there and it gets cherry picked and unless you, you know, and we've talked about this a lot, unless you look at the scripture in its entirety, unless you looked at the context, the contextual references around it, you're going to miss what Christ is talking about in this parable. And so the term "you can't judge me" gets thrown out so much. You know, the Bible says
right. It does. It is absolutely cherry picking. I want to read the scripture.
Yeah. Do it because let's start it off like that.
Yeah. All right. So it's Matthew chapter 7. We'll start at verse 1. It says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?"
That's hard.
Right? "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I mean, that's
So let's jump into this with both feet.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's do it.
Starting off, you know, judge not that you be judged. I have been told this multiple times, and both of us have preached on this particular scripture multiple times.
That's right.
And the thing about this is, you know, somebody sticking a finger up in your face going, "Well, you can't judge me." Let's define some parameters here.
I think it's one of the most incorrectly used verses.
I believe that.
Especially from the non-Christian.
Right. Or the backsliding Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It really gets thrown out there for that.
Yeah.
And the problem with it is I kind of turn this around back on them and say, "You know what? I'm not judging you, but I am inspecting your fruit."
Right.
And as a fruit inspector, you don't pass.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dig in, right?
Yeah.
So if we dig into it, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Mm-hmm. Right? When you read that, what does that make you think immediately, right?
Like, I'm going to jail. I mean, literally.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
Because, you know, if we're stacking up, you know, and comparing sin to sin, you know, I probably got you beat.
Well, yeah, probably.
I mean, you know.
You know, I'll tell you early on, well, not, I mean, before I came to Christ, I think I used this verse inappropriately as much or more than anybody else. And let me tell you why, right? Because we've talked about it, right? I grew up in Salt Lake.
Right.
Right. Right. And the Mormon church is all about judging you for not doing mm-hmm. it their way.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Condemnation, hellfire and brimstone. If you don't believe in Joseph Smith.
Right.
Right. The angel Moroni and the golden plates, you're going to hell. Right. You're burning for all eternity. Right. And if you don't believe it, we're going to kick you out of, like, all of these things.
Right.
Right. And I'd be like, don't judge me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It says, don't judge me.
Yeah.
But is that really what it says?
No. No.
So let's talk about that.
All right, let's talk about it. So just not that you be not judged is more of a sentence or a statement that just tells me, don't get puffed up in your own life.
Yeah.
Don't allow yourself to be holier than thou. Don't allow yourself, because you can quote addresses in scripture and things like that, or that you may have, you know, a different perspective of this scripture or that scripture or,
yeah.
you know, whatever than somebody else, that you are more spiritually mature than them. Don't go about, you know, showing other people your spiritual resume. Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. See, and so I agree with that. And then, but I think about, what does it mean when I hear it, right?
Right.
And so I think about it like it says, don't judge or you're going to be judged. It's saying, like, maybe you should look in a mirror first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
The spiritual resume and all the things you've done and mm-hmm. all the sermons you've preached yeah, and what you've done for this person or that community or whatever. Don't judge me. If you haven't looked in a mirror.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And there's a whole bunch yeah. of stuff that you know, goes on through this. But he's saying, like, if you're judging.
Watch out.
Watch out, because yeah. it's coming for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And we look past, because we get to a point of, you know, I'm better than, you know, this guy sitting over here in the other
right.
pew, or
right.
I do better work than she does, or, you know, and fill in the blank where you puff yourself up. But it's the same thing, you know, looking in the mirror and making sure that the things and looking on down through this particular parable,
right.
through the scripture,
right.
it explains it more if you'll just read it. And we just did, but what I'm saying is, for people that want to cherry pick scripture,
yeah,
you know, and pull that out and say, oh, you can't judge me, you know, well, let's read just a little bit further.
Right. And I think the thing that maybe people don't recognize, you know, and we've talked about it before, is that when this was written,
mm-hmm.
there weren't verses.
Right.
There weren't chapters.
Right.
Right. So you can't just pick a sentence, because really what this is a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sentence in a letter.
Right.
Right. It's a sentence that Matthew was documenting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. From his time with Christ.
From his time with Christ. Right.
And he didn't say, okay, this is chapter 7. This is verse 1.
Yeah. Period.
Period, right?
Yeah.
This is verse 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you Semicolon. Think about it,
yeah.
what you really, you know, I like to tell people, you got to go and read like 20 before and 20 after.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try to understand some of the context,
mm-hmm.
you can't just read one verse.
You can't.
Right? You and can't. If you were to read the 20 after.
Oh, yeah, it's.
Right? You don't even have to go 20, but if you were to read the 20 after, you're going to stop and go, oh, man, I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And you get to self-proclaim yourself that.
Which is super hard.
It
let's
is.
Let's be honest.
And it really is. Because we don't want that label.
Nobody does.
Yeah. And here's the thing, folks. The church, the Big C church.
Yeah.
Not just my church or Rick's church or your church or the church that's down on the corner. The church, Big C church, is full of hypocrites because we all, every one of us, fall short.
Absolutely. Every day.
And
there's nothing like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Right? There is nothing I can do to overcome and to earn my right other than say, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
Yeah.
Christ, you're my Savior.
And one of the things, I'm going to tell myself a little bit this morning. One of the things on what I call my opening prayer for the day.
Yeah.
Was I was just thanking the Lord for his mercies being new today.
Yeah.
You know, because if I'm running on, you know, the gasoline from yesterday's expedites.
Yeah.
I'm out of gas.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, so my thankfulness for his mercies today has got to be for today. And then tomorrow, my thankfulness for his mercies is going to be brand new because they're brand new mercies.
Right, right.
And you can't run from that.
No, you can't. And so that's just verse one, right?
Yeah, we ain't even halfway through yet, folks.
Do not judge or you too will be judged.
Yeah.
Right? And then he says, for in the same way that you judge somebody,
you're going to get it.
You're going to get it.
Yep.
And there's a part of me that feels like when you're judging somebody, it's a, maybe you don't recognize it, but it's a way for you to ignore your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Your junk and sin.
I'm pushing it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not looking in the mirror. I'm not looking at my own. And God is telling you, like, hey, yeah. I see it.
Yeah.
So for whatever you give to somebody, I'm going to give to you.
Yeah.
Right? Now, look, you and I have both been judged beyond probably belief just being in a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been in grocery stores. I've talked about this before, right? Yeah. I've been in a grocery store where I'll turn down an aisle and somebody else, maybe I was riding my bike, I had my cut on,
mm-hmm.
and Linda would text me and say, hey, could you stop and get something?
Right.
So I stop, I got my cut on, right? And people like,
go the opposite
as fast as they can to get out of the aisle.
Yeah, I have been a victim of that as well, where I literally got off my motorcycle to go into a grocery store. It may have been Walmart, but and there was a lady that had a little girl. She might have been 5 or 6,
yeah.
You know, that they were coming to their car, and obviously had parked in close proximity of where I had parked my motorcycle and saw me in my cut and like, because I didn't have sleeves on and I got tattoos showing, you know, and things like that. And she immediately walks through a car aisle to the next one while I walk by to come around behind me to get in their car.
Yeah.
You know, and I got Christian patches, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to eat your children.
Yeah. You know, it's inevitable, though, like when you're checking out, usually you're going to see that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they see your cut and they see what it says and they're like, oh.
Yeah. The one that I like the most is when they see the Imago Dei patch on my cut. And they, because that's what's Imago Dei? You know, that's the image of God.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you about this patch and why this patch means so much to me, you know?
Right.
Because it means that I'm living my life to the extent of other people, my brothers, see me as the image of God because of the way I live my life.
Yeah.
And you know, that turns into more and more conversation. And before you know it, you can, you know, you can ask the same three questions that Billboard asks.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. You can. You know, I think the other thing that people don't recognize, right, when we're talking about judgment, I know that for me, when I was new in my faith, I avoided people that I knew were going to be judgmental.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially Christians.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew that a Christian was going to say, oh, you're going to hell for that, or you shouldn't do this, right? Because I was still smoking. I was like, I was still doing stuff I shouldn't do, right? Early in my walk. And I knew that there were a problem, but I'm trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I just avoided Christians that would say, you really shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And so what I want to tell people is you're robbing them of a blessing and yourself as a blessing, because they ain't going to come around you.
No.
You're not allowing God to work through you when you're judging people.
Right. And how are you building brotherhood for the kingdom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm judging somebody, I ain't building anything for the kingdom.
Right.
Right.
You're sure not encouraging anybody.
No, I'm not walking with them and saying, look, let's get through this together.
Right. You're not showing love and it's just it's a to brush fire with kerosene.
It is. And I mean, I don't want to break it down to that small of a thing.
But that's where that's the reality of it.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think people recognize – I don't think Christians recognize that. I knew somebody – and I look, we talk about people a lot, and we're not mentioning names or anything, right? But I knew somebody who – one of their friends' children came out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
And this person says to their friend, well, you know they're going to hell, right?
Yeah.
Seriously? Like they ended up fighting on the lawn. Right.
Wow.
Because like, you know, that's their child.
Yeah.
Right. And at the end of the day, who are you to judge the salvation of somebody?
Well, true. How, but let's not get into
that. It's a touchy subject.
It is a very touchy subject because of, you know, and but anyway, let's, so this conversation, folks, is not going to get into whether or not, you know, the salvation of people that come out as gay.
No, I that had nothing to do with somebody.
No, it doesn't. But
us can never judge somebody's salvation.
No, we can't. Right? That's
not for us.
That's not our job.
It is 100% inaccurate for me to say you're going to hell.
Right.
Because 10 or 15 years ago, you would have looked at me and said, you're going to hell. And I said, yeah.
You want to go?
Right? Like, yeah, I'm trying to take over.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. But nobody at that time, anybody who said, Rick, you're going to go to hell for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew God's plan for me.
Exactly.
And that's why this scripture for me is so impactful.
It really is.
Because God's plan was to put me where I am today, just like God's plan was to put you where you are today.
Right.
And anybody who judged my salvation at that time was wrong.
Exactly.
It didn't matter what I did.
Right. But here's the thing with that. People get tied up people get tied up in thinking that the direction that you're going now is the direction that you're only going to go because of your junk, your trash. You can't do right. You know, you can't, you know, can't get right. You know,
that's right.
And people discount what God can do in your life and in my life.
Amen.
And the change that has happened in both of our lives because of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of being open and susceptible, we'll call it that, right?
Yeah.
To the salvation and the gospel of Christ. Those things that have changed our path from what we were to what we are and what we're going to become.
That's right.
Because I'm not done yet.
Me neither.
And I'm not done growing. I'm not done learning. I'm not done in my discipleship and being discipled. And so my spiritual maturity level may be here today, but I'm praying that tomorrow it's here.
Right.
And the next day it's here.
Absolutely.
And the next day and the next day. So when you tell someone, well, you're going to hell, well, you don't know what God has in store for them, whether it be a Damascus Road experience with Saul, Paul, or whether it be something where someone comes along and we've talked about, you know, taking seven different interactions with the gospel for somebody to make a decision, you know, or whether you're number three and why do you want to come along? And what if you're number seven?
Yeah.
And your designation as number seven comes across as, well, you're going to hell.
Right. Right. It's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
It's a huge problem. Right. And look, I have friends who are gay.
Yeah.
I'm going to love them. Do I agree with it? No.
Yeah. Do I want them to change that? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Am I going to love them? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to.
Right.
I'm going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it was my kids, I'm going to love them.
Well,
that's how it works.
Tag.
You know?
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. I'm going to handle this gently, okay?
That's okay.
So I have family members who have come out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
One of them came out Father's Day of 2019. To me.
Okay.
I was getting ready to go to the mission to lead worship.
Yeah. I remember then.
Yeah. You remember that day.
Yeah.
Specifically, right? And I my first reaction to this person was, well, you know, it's a sin.
Yep.
And they were like, well, I figured that would be your reaction. Click.
Yeah.
Right? Now, do I still love this person with all of my heart? Am I still hoping that this particular person recognizes? Yes.
Yeah. But it doesn't make you love them less.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I never did. And, never will.
And I think far too often when we talk about judgment, right, I think far too often we go, that's just a little sin.
Yeah.
Right? Right. That's not as bad as this.
Right.
But in the eyes of God, it's all
sin.
The same.
Yep. It's all right? The same. There's no
It difference. Is all the same. So if I tell a lie,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
that's the same.
Right.
I'm still sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what people fail to maybe recognize. Or I think they recognize it, maybe Christians, but they fail to admit it.
Or realize it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But Scripture is clear.
Crystal.
Right? Sin is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And every sin except for one is forgivable.
Yep. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yep.
So if everything is forgivable, maybe you should just love them. Right?
Pretty sure that's the way it should be.
It is.
So let's move on. Let's look at verse 3 real quick. Why do you see that? Because this is a huge one. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye?
For me, I think it is fear. I think it is, I guess for lack of a better term, just redirecting, right?
Yeah. I agree with that.
I don't want to see mine, right? Because if I see my own, if I look at my own, maybe I won't like who I am. Maybe I won't like what I've done, or maybe I won't feel worthy.
Or maybe you think the people that you have tricked into liking you won't like you anymore.
Mm.
And I say tricked with air quotes on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one.
Because maybe you have put on this persona of, I am so XYZ.
Yeah.
I am so spiritually mature. I am so, you know, I have been a student of Scripture.
Yeah.
And I can interpret Greek, Hebrew, and Chaldean. And
I wish I could, but.
I wish I could too.
Right.
But
I know what you're saying. I've met people who have acted like they're. They're like, God needs to check with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, you know, God, check with me before you save that person. Because I'm going to let you know.
Why do we allow ourselves to get to that point?
I don't know. I don't see you ever getting there.
I don't see you ever getting there.
Praise God, I hope I don't, right? But there are a lot of people that I have met in different churches and different congregations mm-hmm. and denominations. You know, that they don't say that.
Right.
Right. They're never going to come out and say it, but they
give
portray
off that vibe.
Right.
Yeah. They give off that
vibe. They give off the vibe. Like,
yeah.
You better, God's going to let me, he's going to ask me before he lets you in.
And they kind of, you feel like they're looking down at you with their glasses down at the end of their
head
like this.
Yeah.
And they're
well,
let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know,
let me tell you how to do that.
And they have the James Earl Jones voice.
Yeah. Why do you think?
Why do I think they allow themselves to get to that?
Yeah. Or why do you think they don't want to look at it? Other than the fear, right, of you finding out who they really are.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
They don't want to and I have been kind of in that situation before where I did not want to admit that I was doing anything wrong or that there was sin in my life that was unrepentant or that there was anything other than Batman is this rock solid rock star of a Christian.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Nobody is.
Nobody. Right?
And anybody who claims to be, they don't understand Scripture.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And they've got too big of a, they have a pharisaical opinion of themselves. And
right.
It ends up coming to bite them.
Right. It does. Every time.
Yep.
So if we look at the next one,
uh-huh.
right, verse 4.
Verse 4.
How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own? For me, that's a hard one. Because I think about if I'm talking with somebody and I know that I'm doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How can I say don't do that?
You can't.
Right? And that's why he says you hypocrite, right?
Yeah.
Because I think far too often somebody will go, well, let's use pornography as an example.
Okay.
Right? You and I both know that pornography kind of runs rampant in church.
Oh, yeah.
Even though people don't admit it.
Oh, yeah. Or deny it.
Or they deny it.
Right.
Or whatever it may be. And then eventually, something will get found.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And somebody's got to repent.
Every single time.
Right? And I'm not saying all churches, right? But there are some.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
I truly don't know. So I'm trying to not just paint this wide brush.
Right. Right? I got you.
But I know of pastors who have openly said pornography is bad. Don't do it.
Yep.
You know, repent of your sins. You know, be saved. Come and talk to me. And then they're doing the same
thing. Their search history on their church computer
right.
is full of it. Yeah.
That's right. Full of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't personally know how that's okay, right? Like, you know, this isn't in the Bible, but at the end of the day, integrity is about what you doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How can you have the integrity to tell somebody, don't do that, it's a sin, right? You know, you're a sinner, don't do it, repent, I'll forget, you know, your sins will be forgiven by God, blah, 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 right? And then as soon as they walk out the door, you're doing it.
I don't know.
Right.
I really don't know. Other than the shame of wanting to hide something because they have, once again, portrayed themselves to this particular level.
Right.
And that's, you know, the thought of letting someone else know that they're actually struggling at that level.
Yeah.
Overtakes righteous thinking.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, at the bottom of it all, that's what it is we've allowed the thought of the shame of admitting what our wrong is to overtake righteous thinking.
We have. We absolutely have.
And so
how do we overcome that?
It all has to boil down to what this entire podcast over 3 years or three seasons has been based on.
Yeah.
That's love God and love people.
Absolutely.
Because if I am not, if I'm not loving someone enough to allow them, and the Bible talks, there's other scripture that we're not going to cover today, but there's scripture about gently restoring a brother.
Yes.
There's other scripture in James about praying for brothers and sisters.
That's right.
There's you know, all kinds of instruction that Paul and Peter have given us. And even in the Gospels that's been recorded of Jesus where instruction about loving each other and loving each other well.
Yes.
Has got to be put into practice, into play, and into everyday life planning.
And so, I mean, realistically, there's no way to do that while you're judging somebody.
No.
Right?
No.
There's no way for you to love somebody, to have a loving outlook, to have a plan for showing them the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the middle of judging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And I think it's probably safe to say, right, we've talked a lot about social media too.
Yeah.
But social media is one of the worst places for judgment.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody may post something amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody just blasts them.
Yeah.
Pure judgment, keyboard warrior. They got no idea. And that person who posted that amazing thing may now feel like, gosh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Right? As great as it was and as much of a blessing it was to other people,
mm-hmm.
they may be like, I'm not ever posting
again. Never, ever again.
Right.
And because of that, it turns people away from speaking openly about spiritual things, about the gospel, about triumphs that God has done in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about testimony and the importance of paying attention and listening,
right,
you know, to other people's testimony. So when you blast somebody like that,
yeah,
you know, or when you're the victim of somebody blasting like that,
yeah,
you know, those kind of things lock us down to where I'm not comfortable in sharing that thing that God has done in my life.
That's right. That's right.
And it all comes back to, a judgmental attitude and not wanting the expose to be opened on ourselves.
That's right. That's right. Not wanting it to be open on ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Last one is 5.
Yep. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
That one, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
Well, there's a song lyric that comes to my mind. Who is it? I can't think of the author. I mean, the song lyric is, "To my plank-filled eye." Mm. And I can't see what everybody else is doing. And this is the crux of this parable in my mind, because if I'm more worried about this plank in my eye, this log in my eye, this thing that's obstructing my spiritual view, then I don't have time to worry about what's in yours.
Right.
I don't have time to worry about the junk that you're carrying around in that messenger bag.
That's right.
I don't have time. I got to clear this out. I got to work this out.
Right.
And until I can look in the mirror and be sin free, I got no business whatsoever pointing out what yours is.
Right. And that's a hard one, because you think about what you just said, till I can look in the mirror and be sin free.
Yeah. It's impossible. Well,
that's right. That's right. Like, we sin every day. I sin today.
Yep.
Can I tell you what I did wrong? No, but I know I did something.
I did something.
Right?
Yeah.
I know I did.
I did something. Yeah.
Right? Probably more than one.
Well.
Right?
I'll tell you what, I got honked at a stoplight and I didn't go off, so I didn't do it that time.
Praise God.
That's production, isn't it?
But it's just, that is our lives, right? We are born into sin.
Into sin.
Right?
Yeah.
And every day is a walk to get closer and closer and closer, right?
Yep.
To be more and more Christ-like, to be more and more sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, here's the one thing that I do want to say, right? Because it's not in this talk about judging others and the plank and everything, but I will say, if you're going to have a – it doesn't say don't have a conversation. It doesn't say don't call out sin.
Yeah, or inspect their fruit, right?
Right. But I will say, don't just like put people on blast, right?
Yeah.
If somebody's doing something that you're like, nah, I don't know about, like the Bible says, go to them one on one,
right?
Right, and have a conversation,
right?
And if they don't listen,
then you go to the elder. Yeah,
you go with two, right?
You go
with two, and if they don't listen, then you go to the church.
Go to the elders,
right? Yeah. You go to the elders, and so there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening, I would challenge you to study and do it the right way.
Right.
When you don't have a plank in your eye.
Well, but I'm not disregarding that. Okay.
Yeah.
Hear what I'm saying. I believe this is kingdom building exercise 101 right here.
Yeah.
And I believe in that exercise. I see something. Let me put this in a little more personal view. Like, I see something in your life, and I go, "Hey, Rick, let's talk about this for a minute," because I see this, and I see you going down this path.
Right.
You know, at that point, that opens up the possibility of accountability between us. Now, Rick and I have that accountability with each
other.
Absolutely. We've been friends for a long, long time.
That's right.
And we. you know, there have been things that, Rick has gone, hey, hold on a minute. And there have been things that I've told Rick about.
That's right.
Hey, hang on. There's something. Yeah. So the thing, what I'm saying here is that conversation, not in a judgmental way, but that conversation opens up accountability for us so that the transparency that you tell me about when I say, hey, I recognize this and this is going wrong, or, you know, this is down a path that you may not want to go down. And you know, there may be something that I'm seeing wrong in that. There may be something that it is totally benign, but I'm looking at it from a 12,000 foot view when I should be looking at it from a 36,000 foot view. You know, and I'm trying to, but either way, that's another topic. You know, but what I'm saying, because you're looking down your nose at somebody.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is, I may not know the whole story, and in that conversation that we have with that builds that accountability and that transparency, so that I do know the whole story. At the same time, there's aspects that you can see into my life where you can hold me accountable to, hey, I want you to know that, you know, I know you're 14 and a half years sober, but, you know, you're going by yourself to a clubhouse that you don't need to be going to, you know.
Right. I totally get it.
And I'm not saying it's a tit for tat thing.
That's right.
You know, I'm saying that opens up that accountability with each other.
It absolutely does. But I also know, right, that if you come to me, that you're working on yourself.
Right.
Right. So when I say make sure you don't have a plank in your eye.
Yeah.
I know the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go to somebody and be like, hey, you got to stop doing that, if you're not at least working on yourself.
Right. Right. Right.
That's what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
Right? And because everybody's got planks.
100% agree with that.
Everybody's got planks.
Yes.
And if you just didn't say anything because you had a plank, nobody would ever talk to each other.
Yep.
Right? But I can have a conversation with somebody because based on the relationship I have with them,
mm-hmm.
because they know the walk I'm going through.
Right.
They know I'm going to say I'm screwed up too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here's some stuff that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, this morning, you know, we had a men's group and I'm like, look, my problem. We talked about receptivity.
Oh, my.
Right.
Oh,
what
my.
Are you receptive to? And what were you not receptive to this week?
Yeah.
Right. And how does that work?
Yeah. So
anyway,
I wish I would have been in on that one because I would have like. Look, if you've got your rabbit ears up on your TV, or do you have the big HD off air or a satellite, you know?
Yeah.
How receptive. I love that. I wish.
Sorry you missed it.
I am too.
So look, how do you want to land it?
So I think in the way that we land this should be just reminding ourselves and everybody that's listening to remind yourself as well that – This entire passage, in cherry picking it, does more harm to your walk and your testimony than anything else that you can do. Let me take that back. It does more harm than it could ever do good to cherry pick this scripture.
I agree. Absolutely.
And unless you're walking out like what we've been talking about with knowing when you come to a brother or a sister, you know, knowing, first of all, that you do it in love, mm-hmm. with gentleness.
That's right.
With the, you know, if it's an obvious thing that you know, you, I don't want to say you got the goods on them, but, you know, but that is an obvious that you come to them with the gentleness and love and the hope of restoration.
Amen.
You know, otherwise you have a huge, huge, huge blank in your eye.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
That's the way I would land it.
Well, I don't think we need to add anything to that. Right.
Well,
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. Look, been a great topic.
I love
digging in, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you do too, and hopefully if you're listening, you do too. And so recognize we're going to spend a bunch of time going through different parables.
Several weeks.
And then, you know, Also, look, if it's something you want to talk about, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we'll answer your questions.
We do. And that's something that we keep an eye on that. And anytime we get an email or, you know, somebody has a question or somebody has a, you know, a topic that they would like for us to cover, you know, we've tackled some topics that we obviously were completely unqualified for.
Yes.
But we have.
But I think we did all right.
I think we did good.
Yeah.
I really do. But please send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org and we'll get right back with you as quickly as we can.
Absolutely. And again, remember to love God
and love people.